Hey, all cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, I woke up this morning to a text message from you that said, what a feeling waking up to news of a double game week. And is it too soon to be talking double game weeks? Already game week 25, we have a double with Everton and Manchester City. This is kind of crazy.
It is a perfect double game week. It's like it's complicated. You've got the game week at 25, and then you've got, you know, the blank for those two teams just 2 weeks later. You've got Man City the double game week at home, but then they play Chelsea in game week 26, which should be a pretty tough match. It's fantastic. So we kind of ripped up our whole running order for today, and we're going to talk a lot about double game weeks because they're super exciting. And Brandon, just because I am conscious these days of not getting like so far in the weeds with some of the stuff that we talk about, if this is your first year playing fantasy, a double game week basically means that, you know, one or more teams plays twice in a particular game week, right? Like a game where you can accrue points. So yep. In this case, Manchester City and Everton, because Man City are playing in the League Cup final on game week 27, they won't be able to have a game week that week. So they're playing game week 25. They're playing away to Everton, and that falls within game week 25. So they will have two fixtures, and Everton will have two fixtures within that game week.
Well said, Josh. Yeah, so this is an opportunity for your Manchester City or Everton assets to score double the points in a sense.
Right. Maybe quadruple, Brandon.
Yeah, we'll get more into that. before we talk about all of the exciting, well, the way you describe this is the perfect double game week because it's complicated. You're the type of guy that enjoys like foreign films and really dense literature. I would prefer this double game week to be a little more like a summer blockbuster Marvel comic movie. Can mm-hmm. we make it just a little easier?
It is tricky. I mean, I have the slightest leg up on you. And again, I don't want to get too into the double game week stuff quite yet, because we're gonna get way into that in a few minutes. But you know, just if we can talk about our own personal teams right now and how we're thinking about it, you know, I'm trying to decide how many players I want for Man City and Everton for this double game week. I currently have Leroy Sané and Lucas Digne in my team, right? So I've got two players for the double. I think that I want four. And mm-hmm. what I'm leaning towards right now is bringing in Richarlison, which I can do very easily with some money left over from my Harry Kane sale. Mm-hmm. And then I would have enough money to probably take Trent Alexander-Arnold and move him into a Man City defender, or I could possibly move for Ederson as my goalkeeper for that game week. Yeah. The only concern there is I could only do that by moving out Patricio, and because Gaita is injured, I wouldn't have a keeper for game week 27. So it's very it's complicated, but I love it. I love the challenge of trying to figure it out. I don't like it when things are easy. I like it when it's very messy and complicated.
Yeah, right.
So it's definitely going to be.
Yep, and I just have Lucas Digne right now. No Manchester City coverage. So I'm waffling between attacking City coverage or defensive coverage. I think it might be an either-or for me, but yeah. Let's just do some housekeeping before we get in more into that. Josh, okay. At the end of this podcast, we're going to have a quick interview with Tyro Arruda. We had the pleasure of chatting with him about the upcoming Yale Soccer Conference. It's happening February 9th through 10th. Up in New Haven, Connecticut. Tyro extended an invitation to us, so we will be the Always Cheating audience's eyes and ears up at the first annual Yale Soccer Conference. People speaking there, Steven Szymanski, author of the book Soccernomics, also Pierre Moussa. We have an interview scheduled with him. He produces all of NBC's Premier League coverage here in the States. Grant Wall, people know him as the chief soccer writer at Sports Illustrated, and executives from Bayern Munich, Barcelona, various MLS clubs. So stay tuned to the end of the episode. We've got that interview with Tyro, in which he talks more about the conference and what to expect. Plus, Josh, we have tickets that were made free to us by way of Tyro. If we have any listeners out there who are in the New Haven area or want to be or will be in the New Haven area, reach out to us via email or direct message. We're at hailcheaters@gmail.com, and we can figure out a way to get you to the conference.
That's right. Yeah, it's really, the conference is basically about the business of soccer. So if that's something that's interesting to you, or if it's a maybe a career you want to get into or something like that, maybe this is the conference to check out. So yeah, as Brendan said, email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com. Brendan, want to talk quickly about our Patreon supporters too. If you well, first of all, if you want to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com. We're getting all the messy stuff out of the way, aren't we? We're gonna be able to get, it's gonna be all double game week talk, Brendan, once we get through the business end of this.
Yes.
So if you'd like to support what we do, visit patreon.com/alwayscheating. We have our new podcast stream, the Kitchen Table series. Brendan, you did one on Friday. Mm-hmm. I'm planning to do one after Wednesday's matches. So this week, you know, we're going to try to do like for once an actually short podcast or fairly short podcast because the matches start on Tuesday. They're on Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we have more matches on Saturday and Sunday. We're not going to have time to do another podcast, but I am going to do a short Kitchen Table podcast where I talk about game week 25. So those are exclusively for our Patreon supporters. We do have a couple new patrons this week, Brendan. A new producer patron, Matt Ritter. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks,
Matt. Two new Envicani patrons, JP and Daniel Stocker. So thank you to JP, Daniel, and Matt.
Awesome. Thanks for the support. And again, patreon.com/alwayscheating if you want to consider supporting what we do here at the Always Cheating Podcast. All right. Back to it. What were we talking about? Double game weeks?
Double game weeks. I know. So we have, you know, the double game week isn't game week 25. We have a whole set of matches before that takes place. But, you know, let's give people what they want, right? And let's start talking about this double game week. And, you know, I think it's worth thinking about this. You could actually think about this as game week 24, 25, and 26 kind of together now, right? Because
mm-hmm. Yes.
The question is, you know, do you want to start moving for Man City Everton players early? You know, so we have a lot of questions here we're going to get to in a second, but just briefly. So just let's run through the fixtures for Everton and Man City in game weeks 24, 25, 26. All right.
Okay. Let's do it.
Everton play away to Huddersfield on Tuesday. They play home to Wolves on Saturday, and then they will also host Man City on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So it's two home fixtures and one away fixture for them. Two of those fixtures are actually quite good, I think. I mean, the fixture to Everton, or, you know, away to Huddersfield, and then the fixture at home to Wolves. I mean, Wolves occasionally look good. I don't know. But like they're conceding a ton of goals right now, right? They conceded two more yesterday in the FA Cup.
Yeah, Matt Doherty starting in that match did not help the defensive matters, apparently. Though he did come away with the goal. So that's a lot to think about in terms of Doherty.
Yeah, and even the home match to Man City on Wednesday, I mean, because they're home, I feel like they have at least a chance of scoring a goal in that match. Talking about Man City, they play away to Newcastle on Tuesday. They play home to Arsenal on Saturday, and then they play away to Everton on Wednesday. Those are all pretty good fixtures too, right? I mean, you know, Man City, Koscielny may have broken his jaw, and Socrates Zaza, I mean, they may be playing at home to Arsenal against an Arsenal team that like basically doesn't have a back line, right? Like,
Nacho Monreal is trying to shield his goalkeeper.
Holding is out too, right? So it's just like a complete mess for them right now.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, that is like a possibly captainable fixture right there. Mm-hmm. So when you combine that with the Everton match and the Newcastle, I mean, you know, I've heard some people talking about, I want to save my transfer now for game week 25, but I think you could consider just starting to move early for either one of these two teams.
Agreed. Totally agreed. Here's another question, table setting question. We have these doubles coming up for Everton and City in 25, but both of these teams have blanks in game week 27, meaning they do not have fixtures during that game week. None of these players can score points for you in game week 27.
Right.
How does that change our thinking in terms of loading up ahead of a blank, and then we're going to be stuck with a lot of holes in our team?
Well, it just depends on how many people you want to bring in. You know, I mean, if you bring in four, let's say, you have, you know, assuming you just do one transfer per game week, you know, you're not burning points, you're just using your normal transfer, then you could move one player out in game week 26 and one out in game week 27, and then you'd have two on the bench. Which, you know, I don't think is all that bad, you know? I mean, you know, two on the bench, and then, you know, after that match, Man City have West Ham at home and Bournemouth away. You know, two excellent fixtures. Everton, it's not quite as good. I mean, they have Cardiff away in game week 28, which is fine. Chelsea at home in game week 29. So, you know, you're going into decent fixtures in both cases with those players. So as long as you can field a full team in game week 27, yeah. I don't see that as a big issue. Like even having up to three players on the bench.
This is something that I touched upon in this week's kitchen table sessions is be mindful of sacrificing short-term thinking in favor of long-term. Mm-hmm. So right. If you're looking just at the blanks in 27, you might end up losing great scoring opportunities in 24, 25, 26. So just don't be blind to what's right in front of you.
So how does this change your, like what was your plan going into game week 24 and how has that changed?
Yeah, my plan going into 24 was to scrape together a little bit more money, and I was targeting, like a lot of people, Bednarak on Southampton. 3.9 starting central defender, bonus point, magnet, looked like a good buy. So I was just kind of setting myself up long term. Now, with this double game week in 25, I think the Bednarak plan has to be tabled in favor of a Manchester City defender. And that would be a game week 24 move. And I'm still on two free transfers. So that gives me an opportunity to, on top of Dean, who I already have, bring in three more players for free before the double that are either Everton or City. So that's how my plans effectively changed by it's all focused toward Everton and City players instead of somebody like Bednarek.
So who are you thinking about? Like, what is a possible plan that you're considering right now?
Yeah, so my immediate thought is you have to go attack with Manchester City. There was a lot of chatter about, well, who do you go for between Aguero or Jesus? That's a couple seasons ago. But I think you just want to have the best players in this situation. And to me, the two best attackers on City are Sané and Sterling. We can get into all sorts of circular arguments about rotation, but the only attackers for me worth considering for City would be Sterling or Sané. Here's the wrinkle. In order for me to get either of those players, I have to move one of two players. That's Hazard or Aubameyang. So I could see the logic of wanting to keep Hazard because he has a Huddersfield fixture in that double game week 25. So if you want to, if you've been holding on and struggling with Hazard, why would you not want to stick it out just for that really plum 25 fixture? So then you look at Aubameyang, and I want Aubameyang short term. I also want Aubameyang long term. I don't think I want him game week 25 when he is away at the Etihad against Manchester City. Right. So then I start to see a little bit of the logic in terms of that's just a straight hokey cokey with Aguero or Jesus. The other side of it is I came around to, well, maybe I like Aubameyang and Hazard short and long term. Why fuss around with the attack and just double up on Ederson and Laporte in the back?
Right.
And that seemed like
their defense isn't good, which is one of the reasons not to do it.
Yes. I don't disagree with you. And that's where that whole tinkering in my head sort of stopped short. I'm like, oh, right. City's defense is not very good. And if they are coming up against both Everton and Arsenal, these teams are capable of scoring.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You brought this up in last week's episode about how Aubameyang really struggles against the top four teams. And the likelihood of him doing anything there is tricky. Also, are we selling Manchester City's defense short? 10 clean sheets on the season. I mean, that's almost as good as it gets, apart from Liverpool.
No, that is true. I mean, they have played Wolverhampton and Huddersfield in the last two, so it's been a little bit easier. But before that, you had to go back to game week 13 to get a clean sheet from them. I mean, you're talking about a very long stretch of what is that, like almost 9 game weeks without a clean sheet.
Yeah.
They had a pretty hot start to the season. They've been okay the last two game weeks. You know, they're probably the second best defense in the league, but every defense is bad outside of Liverpool.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it kind of just depends on your situation. I mean, for me, it's like Trent Alexander-Arnold is like, you know, still a doubt to even play. Like no one really knows if he will. So it's kind of an easy move, I think, to bring him out, especially because I've already brought in Robertson. the question for me is really Richarlison versus Bernardo Silva. And this is where I would consider holding my transfer, because Bernardo Silva, I pulled up the stats for the FA Cup match yesterday for Man City. Silva did start and was not subbed. He just played the whole match. He did score a goal in the match. But the fact that he played, you know, and Sané and Sterling didn't even come on the pitch, which is kind of perfect, actually. Mm-hmm. So they've been given, you know, full rest. Neither of them played in the League Cup semifinal second leg either. So full rest for them. Every reason to think they're going to start the next two games. Bernardo Silva, though, plays 90 minutes. They've got now three matches in 10 days. I've got to think he's not going to start in probably game week 24.
Yeah, and Kevin De Bruyne can play that same position. You'd expect to see him have a lot more minutes, especially True. In that double game week.
Yeah, although he did start the match too, and mm-hmm. and you know, I don't know, and I worry about him still with the serious injury. If I can't see him playing three times in the next three game weeks, or you know, yeah. the next three fixtures, so he's the one. People have been talking about him, and I just don't trust him. I also think the thing about De Bruyne is like he, I don't know, it's just like. It's not like he's like a forward anyway. I don't know. It's like I would never want De Bruyne over Sané, you know, like just give me the guy who scores and assists like as like a function of where he is in the formation. You know, with De Bruyne, it's always shots outside the box. It's he's like a, you know, amazing the way he links up the play and everything. But I don't know. I feel like when he's in like peak form, he's great because he's kind of like David Silva, where it's like you can just get points like game week in and game week out. But for like a double game week, I just don't think he's like the kind of player I want.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Now, Richarlison is another interesting talking point. What the double game week for Everton, the only thing it says to me is I was thinking of getting rid of Lucas Digne, but now I won't. Do I want to go anywhere else with Everton? I'm not sure I do, to be honest. Yeah. Richarlison has not been in great form. He did score a goal in the FA Cup this weekend. So, you know, for whatever that counts toward his form. But Everton, they still lost that match. They have not looked great at all. I mean, what's the attraction there for you?
Well, for me, it's just it would be – the appeal would be if I got him going into game week 24. I mean, the appeal is, you know, he just scored yesterday. They're about to play Huddersfield away and Wolves at home. I mean, those are two fantastic fixtures. I wouldn't normally consider bringing him in if he didn't have the double, right? Because of this blank in game week 27. But now it's like I've got 3 million. It's a very easy move from him to Brooks, or you know, from Brooks to Richarlison. Mm-hmm. You know, Brooks plays they play away to Chelsea. Chelsea actually in game week 24. So not like a match I'd want to start Brooks in anyway. So I don't know. I mean, that's kind of like it's because of that I would sort of consider it. The big thing for me is I keep thinking about the Hazard thing. Like I can't decide if it's like all the Hazard owners have lucked into this like beautiful like parachute out of him, you know, or it's just like it's just like it's so nice. It's like
it luck, Josh.
Right. Or you would call it luck? Yeah.
It's I would not. Luck, right? I would not call it luck.
Oh, you wouldn't. Okay. I think it's kind of lucky because you can go, you know, he hasn't been in form at all. And then suddenly it's like, oh, like how about just move right to Sterling or Sané with this double game week? But of course, you know, he's going to troll us, right? Like everyone who drops him is going to not get the like three goals and two assists that he picks up in the Huddersfield match.
So this is the big question. This is the big question. What do you think? And we can't predict, and that's a fool's errand, but home Huddersfield, captainable fixture for Hazard. Is he able to cover a double game week's worth of points from a Manchester City midfielder, given Arsenal and Everton are their opponents? And no. I think you don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I mean, why would I think so? Like he's had a bunch of these fixtures in the last few game weeks and he hasn't done it. You know, like why is he suddenly going to do it? Like he didn't do it at home to Southampton, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like I mean, you know, I'm sure Huddersfield is going to try to like minimize the damage in that match. I mean, you know, he blanked to Crystal Palace, he blanked at home to Southampton, only picked up an assist at home to Newcastle, blanked at home to Leicester. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's a lot of blanks for him and against some really like fairly easy competition. So, I mean, I guess it just depends on whether you think Higuain is just like such a complete game changer for Hazard that, you know, he can kind of, it'll like kind of like boost his form and open up a lot of opportunities for him, which is entirely possible. I don't know. I would always go with the double. I just love double game weeks though too. So like, I just mm-hmm. like, it's hard for me not to resist, you know, bringing in a double game week player.
Right. I was watching the first half of the Chelsea Sheffield Wednesday FA Cup match. And I said to you before we were recording, you asked what were my takeaways from Higuain. Two of them were first and foremost, why couldn't Olivier Giroud just do the same donkey job that Higuain is doing? That's unclear to me why they had to pay money for Higuain. Second mm-hmm. was the whole discussion between him and Willian ahead of the penalty that Willian ended up taking. And already now you have question marks about Higuain's hunger for goals. And right. with Hazard not being in the squad at all, there's no possibility of seeing what kind of chemistry exists there. So the way I'm approaching it is I do take your point regarding Hazard covering Manchester City double game week points. Mm-hmm. I am just going to wait and see how Hazard looks against Bournemouth. He will have to do something against Bournemouth. If he does nothing, then yes, I will take your very fortunate parachute that you've offered me.
Let's get to some questions, Brandon. How about that? Sure. Shabo Shetsi, Uppercut Panda says, which Man City player? Long time listener, long time since he asked us a question, Brandon. It's nice to have the panda back. Panda he says, back. Which Man City players are nailed on to play both games?
Okay.
You talked to Pep, right? You asked him, did you call him or did you text him? He gave you some, inside scoop on this, right?
We extended an invitation for Pep to appear on the Always Cheating podcast due to scheduling issues. Mm. He really wanted to do it, Josh,
it's too bad. It's
due
too bad.
To scheduling issues, he couldn't do it. It's
a bummer.
We can't answer this question. In all likelihood, you're looking at Ederson and Laporte. So mm-hmm. there you go. I would say
possibly Bernardo Silva. I think if he doesn't start or even play in game week 24, I think there's a decent chance that he plays in both of the game week 25 fixtures.
Yeah. Honestly, I would not be scared off of Sané or Sterling for fear of rotation. I could see particularly Sané playing 70 minutes in both. There is, they have a number of options on the right-hand side where Sterling he tends to play. You could play Mahrez or various other wingers. Sané is the one true left-sided player, and now there is talk. Mendy is back. He was on the team sheet over the weekend.
But, did you not hear, though? Apparently he suffered another setback. Oh, sorry. Did
I cut yes, you off? I was just going to segue into that. So, again, Mendy appears to be off the table for the short term. So it just makes Sané that much more appealing. I do think Sané is the pick.
Isn't it funny how clear. I feel like we've talked about Benjamin Mendy on this podcast about as much as anybody this year. And over the last two seasons, he's played, 10 Premier League games? I mean, he's honestly barely played. You know, he played five or six matches last year before he missed the whole season with a knee injury. I think he only played seven or eight this year. It's kind of crazy. I mean, it's just he is the most famous player who never plays. He's turning into who is that guy on Arsenal who was he came from Dortmund. He was the short midfielder. Thomas Rosicky. There's two. There's a couple of these guys.
The guy who broke his back before he even arrived to the to the Emirates.
Kallstrom. That was Kim. Yeah. It was a Kim Kallstrom.
I think so.
Yeah. And there's also Abu Diaby too, who just couldn't say a lot of guys in Arsenal. It was I feel like Rosicky was one of these guys who's just always on the. He was always about to come back from injury. Always on the way back, and then suffers a setback.
Mendy, when he is fit, though, a total FPL legend. So I think he warrants the talk. He's earned the talk to a degree.
Oh, for sure. But it's just his fame far outstrips his actual on-field performance.
Yeah.
So I think I agree with you. I think, but because Mendy's out, I think that, Lasane probably has to play maybe possibly even more than Pep would like him to play. Mm-hmm. As a result of all these injuries.
Yeah, and he didn't play at all across the last week with both EFL and FA Cup fixtures. So you would think that Pep has his eye on the minutes he needs Sané to play. Because, the dogfight that is happening between Liverpool and Manchester City right now, obviously Champions League, huge priority for the club. But keeping that short distance between them and Liverpool in the league is hugely important. They're going to have to play their best 11 each time out.
Yeah, by the way, I was just thinking about how it's so weird that like the rise of Man United has complicated things so much. You know, it's like I can't, like, Rashford and Pogba to me are unmovable players.
Yes, you know? I would agree.
Whereas normally I would be trying to find a way to move Pogba or whoever I had on that slot into Raheem Sterling or Bernardo Silva or whatever. Now I'm just like, sorry, he can't go anywhere, you know? Yeah, and also with Pogba, I'm a little price locked with him anyway. Pogba is up to 8.7 million and I bought him at 7.8 million. So my sell-on price for him is 8.3.
It's time to sell.
In a way, but like I don't want to go without him long term, you know? And so I feel like I'm kind of locked in with him. Like if I move him, that's a permanent divorce between me and Paul Pogba.
He's never coming back.
All right, next question. Ian Stimson, is there any play in a triple captain Ederson? He's a guaranteed starter, which you cannot say for the rest of the squad.
I love the thinking, but that's a hard no for me.
Yeah.
Captaining a goalkeeper is one thing, but if it's the captain, the goalkeeper out of fear of rotation, the odds of a Manchester City attacker outscoring Ederson just in one match in one double game week far outstrip what Ederson could do across two. So that's a firm no for me.
The problem is it's hard to imagine them keeping clean sheets in both those matches, and he doesn't get a lot of save points in general. Like he's just not like – I mean, it kind of depends on who they're playing. But like, you know, like I could see like when they play Arsenal, like Man City just dominating possession and him only getting like one save in that match, right? So even if he got a clean sheet, you know, he'd only pick up 6 points instead of – the kind of return you might get from like a Mo Salah or whatever, you know, like a bunch of like, I don't know, like there's only one way for a goalkeeper to accrue points, right? It's just, you know, I mean, I guess there's penalty saves too, which are kind of very hard to plan for, obviously. You know,
I do it all the time.
Unless you like, you know that you're going to play Crystal Palace or something. You're like, well, Will Zaha's going to win like 3 penalties and, you know, I might have some chances to make a penalty save. So, I mean, you know, so, and then, you know, and I feel like it's likely he's going to concede in one of those two matches, you know? And so then you're probably looking at like 8 points from him, and eight points from a triple captain would be considered a pretty poor return, I would think, you know? So I'm certainly hoping for more from whenever I play my triple captain. Are you considering,
what you hope for.
Would you consider any chips, you know, would you consider the triple captain, all attack, not all attack, that doesn't exist anymore. Free hit, like any of these, you know,
no,
bench boost?
No, I wouldn't. I think you're better off. I think we have a triple captain question regarding a non-double game week coming up, but no, I think you can ride your luck in game week 25. The free hit, I think you need to, you would only be playing the free hit just to bring in Manchester City assets. And as we said, even though game week 25 seems so close, we do have enough time to build in for just Manchester City players, which would be the priority.
Yep.
And to waste a free hit on that, just as I said, it's a waste.
AJ says, for just game week 25, would you do Aubameyang out, Aguero in for a -4? He says, let's say you already have one of Sterling and Sané.
So we both have Aubameyang, Josh, and I, as I said, I like him short term. Let's see, Arsenal coming up. They have home Cardiff in game week 24, captainable fixture. And then it's City away is the one lackluster fixture in 25. Then it's Huddersfield, Southampton, Bournemouth. So if you drop a point being, if you drop Aubameyang in game week 25, you immediately want him back.
Right.
And that.
And I'm on the record as like the hokey cokey doesn't work. I just don't think like it's something always goes wrong. Something always like, you know, happens to screw up your beautiful plan of, you know, transferring a player out and back in. Like, have you ever actually done it? I feel like I never pull it off. Like, something always happens to screw it up.
I think I was able to do it once with Lukaku and Zlatan back when Lukaku was.
This is what we're talking. I mean, like, you have to stretch back to the era when Zlatan Ibrahimovic was playing for Man United, you know? It's, I don't love that move. There's actually a question we got that kind of ties in with this, though. Dave Newell says, who do you think is Pep's preferred striker right now? I was thinking he'd probably start his best record against Burnley in the Cup and then against Arsenal and Chelsea the following 2 weekends, with his second choice starting the midweek games against Newcastle and Everton. So would I be right in thinking Jesus is now the first choice over Aguero?
Yeah, I think Jesus just edges out Aguero based on recent, you know, patterns of like rotation.
Yeah, it changes with the wind. I mean, you know, the biggest match of the season was, you know, just 3 weeks ago, and he picked Aguero to start that match, right, at home to Liverpool on whatever that was, January 3rd. So, you know, I mean, can things change that dramatically, you know, in 3 weeks' time? That, like, suddenly it's like Aguero's on the back burner and Jesus is the man. You know, like, I don't think things change that much that quickly.
And an injury could happen to, you know, that's the one caveat, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, I guess this is like, we're like venturing like really far into the theoretical here, but like if Aguero got injured this game week or Jesus, I would probably consider dropping Aubameyang. And like, if I knew for a fact that there was going to be one of these two guys starting both fixtures, it'd be very tempting to drop Aubameyang for one game week. I wouldn't do it for -4, though.
We have a question here from Jeremiah Johnson. Is double game week? So we've been talking nonstop about double game week 25. Jeremiah wants to know, is this just fool's gold? Is it? You love the double game weeks. This is not fool's gold for you. It's not pyrite.
We're talking about Man City, man. We're talking about Man City playing an Arsenal team without a defense and an Everton team that doesn't play defense. Like, and you get a chance to play like, you know, like double. You get those players and like, I don't know. It's like double Man City in one game week. Like, how can that be? I mean, okay, yes, there's always rotation worry, but I think the rotation worry gets overstated. And like Leroy Sané to me is like, he's definitely the candidate that I'm like really leaning towards for a game week 25 captain, because he's going to play in both those matches. Like, he may come off the bench in one of those matches, but there's like nothing a team wants to see less in the 65th minute of a match than like Leroy Sané, like straight out of the pitch, right? Like the guy who just like runs and runs and runs and runs and runs. Like, that is like, you know, it's terrifying. So, you know, I think he could absolutely pick up points even if he didn't come out until the 65th minute of one of these two matches.
I do know that Jeremiah is a Toffee. He's an Everton fan. Could you just ignore Everton's featuring in 25? Because I'm far less interested in any of Everton's attack.
I guess I just, you know, I mean, okay. So one of the reasons that I think, as I mentioned before, that I'm sort of interested, if I bring in Richarlison, I'm going to do it before game week 24, because I think it's getting that, in that case, you'd have, you know, Huddersfield, you'd have him for Huddersfield, you'd have him for Wolves, and then the City match is like a bonus. You know, it's like, hey, like, maybe he gets 2 points here, maybe he gets more. You know, it's like, I mean, Everton will have some chances to score, you know, for sure in that match. Richarlison got a brace against Wolves early in the season, if you recall, Brandon, the famous Richarlison brace. I think it was game week 2.
Yeah, that was fun. That was before he got a red card and he fell off our radar for FPL.
Yeah, that's true. I don't mean to sound like super hardcore Richarlison. There is actually a question that we should get to about, I actually don't know if I pulled it or not, but somebody asked about,
Let's talk about it now.
Taib Khalil says, with Charleston being awfully out of form and Everton defensively weak, is Sigurdsson the best Everton asset? What do you think?
I don't think so. I think Richarlison still beats him out. Considering, I was following Everton's Twitter during their FA Cup match, and they posted a picture of Sigurdsson from last season. And of course, everyone jumps on the Everton Twitter handle of like, first of all, Sigurdsson doesn't score and he's been crap this entire match, which then continues like 100 different replies of Everton fans saying worst midfielders to ever wear the shirt. And so on and so forth. Rather extreme. But there does seem to be a contingent of people out there who believe that Sigurdsson is really not worth talking about. And I don't know if I agree with that, but all to say, he divides opinion.
He just feels a little expensive for his returns. You know, I mean, Richarlison is, you know, part of his appeal is just that he is 6.8 million. You know, he's just not that expensive. it's like, I mean, the, you know, this is like, so this is like the thing about double gamings too, is like you want to bring in these players, but you don't want to like totally screw up your team structure, you know, to do it. Like mm-hmm. you want to, you know, like again, like Aubameyang, is it really worth dropping him for Aguero just for one game week when you know that you want him for all the ones before and afterwards? And so to me, I feel like it's kind of not, especially because mm-hmm. of the concern about rotation. And you know, Richarlison, it's like 6.8 million, but it's pretty easy to move him on to somebody else afterwards, right? You're not totally screwing up your team to bring him in. You know, most people have the money to do that and then sort of take out a Ryan Fraser or something like that to do it. And then by the way, Taya Basso said, I think I'm the only one fan of you guys from the whole country, Pakistan. Now that can't be true, Tayyip. Right? There's got to be more Pakistani fans out there.
Yeah. If there are Pakistan fans out there who are listening, hit us up with an email or a tweet. We'd love to hear from you.
Tell us how wrong Tayyip Khalil is.
All right. I have a would you rather question for you, Josh. This all comes from James Q. Option A, triple captain a City attacker in game week 25. Mm-hmm. Or would you rather B, triple captain Salah at home to Bournemouth the following game week 26?
I'll take the double game week. I'll take a Sané over Salah the next game week.
Okay. I don't know. They're both appealing. I wouldn't do either. Mm-hmm. I'm old school, Josh.
Olivier Giroud. You want a 5-pointer from Giroud. A nice simple 5-pointer. Get the assist. Yeah. The 2 points for playing 90 minutes. I love, by the way, that both of us are just like, we both think that Giroud is like exactly as good as Higuaín. Like neither of us are impressed with him at all. We're just like with Higuaín, we're just like, yeah, he's fine. Like Giroud's just as good. Yeah.
No, Sarri was like, I'll take the other guy who failed to score in a World Cup final. How about him?
All right. Last question in the double gaming section, Brandon. FPL Thunder Jeff says, hello, gents. Regarding double gaming 25, I currently have no City and only Dean from Everton. I am tempted to ignore completely as my current plans include neither team for the next 3 weeks. Is that too risky? So just ignoring the double gaming, Brandon, how risky is that?
It's very risky. I mean, ignore it at your own peril, yeah. Jeff. I mean, yeah. Jeff and I have been talking a fair amount offline about his plans for February. And yeah, this definitely is a spanner in the works. And like you were saying, Josh, about the hokey cokey usually not working because something invariably comes in to screw up your plans. And and here we are, Jeff. So you have to play this double game week, even if it's a little bit. You do have to play it at least a little bit.
Yep, I tend to agree. Not having one City player, that just seems... you know, one City midfielder attacker, that just feels really risky, especially because there's going to be so many managers in the top, you know, 10,000, top 100,000 who will have these players, will be captaining these players. Although I will say some person out there is going to be brave. They're going to hold on to Hazard. They're just going to captain Hazard at home to Huddersfield, and they're going to get like 65 points from him. You know, like that's just 66. I guess it's got to be an even number.
It could be me.
Could be you, Brandon. But it won't be. I guarantee it. let's take a quick break, and we're going to get back. We have a short lightning round, and then we're going to get out of here. As I mentioned before, we're going to keep this a short podcast this game week.
Let's talk about our good friends at Starting 11, the live Premier League fantasy game available for your iOS or Android device. You can play for free or cash prizes. That's money, Josh. Play anytime there are two or more Premier League matches. Starting 11 has no budgetary restrictions, so pick the best 11-man squad you can, and you can make substitutions live as the games are unfolding, just like you're a real-life manager. Join thousands of players worldwide competing in the English Premier League contest for cash or pride. You know, maybe gambling isn't your bag. Maybe pride is your bag. Something tells me pride and cash do go hand in hand, most of the time. But yeah, you can join mini leagues through the app or start mini leagues with your friend. The great thing about Starting 11 is you can even geo-target competitions. Anyone who is a pitch length away from you or shorter. So if other people are playing Starting 11 in the pub or inside the stadium, you can compete against them for cash or pride, as we mentioned, Josh. So yeah, on your iOS, cash games are now live in the UK, US, Canada, and Germany. And if you're on an Android device, you can play for cash in the UK or just pick up the app and play for free wherever you are.
Oh, Brandon, I was going to say, just big news that you and I are getting our own Wire, like the TV show, The Wire. You familiar with the TV show The Wire, Brandon? I know no one ever talks about it. It's a very unfamous show, but maybe just randomly you've heard of the show The Wire. Probably have. That's okay.
I have to wait till the summertime when there's no football so I can carve out some time to watch this Wire TV show. Yeah,
we are getting Wire-style burner phones soon, Brandon. And it's very exciting because we're going to start up regular weekly Challenge the Cheater competitions. We used to do this back in the day, Brandon. It was a lot of fun. And we are excited to get back to it. I'm going to be Randall Cheese Wagstaff. And I guess that makes you... You want to be Avon Barksdale or Stringer Bell?
No, I want to be that... I want to be Snoop. Can I be Snoop?
Yeah, you can be Snoop, actually. And I'm going to be the detective. What's his name?
Oh, McNulty.
McNulty, thank you. Jeez. I'm going to be Kima Griggs, actually. Okay, anyway. So it's very exciting. Visit starting11.io to learn more about it. Watch tutorials on how to play.
I can't wait till they release the Starting 11 The Wire game. pick your best Wire Starting 11.
Lightning round. First question comes from Gabe Castellanos. He says, I saw on Twitter that you are a patron of Mikkel Tovam, or Tokvam, excuse me. I am. In fact, he did a Meet the Manager series with our friend Joe from Fantasy Football Scout. And he has this thing where he does these regular algorithms where he predicts performance for midfielders and forwards. And it costs $1.50 a month. And Brandon, we have our own Patreon. I feel like we need to pay it forward by supporting other podcasts on Patreon too.
Absolutely.
You do that with Second Captains as well. Yeah, exactly. Patreon's fine. Like, you feel like you're really helping people up, you know? So I am a fan of that. And he says, so anyways, Gabriel Castellano says, I have two questions for you. One is, what do you like about a spreadsheet? And two, what other tools do you use? So I guess I'll go first, Brandon, just because I am the Patreon subscriber for Mikkel. I like the spreadsheet just because it is nice, I think, to have somebody that you trust. Like, there's a lot of data out there, and I think there's a lot of noise, you know? I mean, anybody who's on Twitter and engaging with the fantasy community knows that, you know, like basically half of all Twitter accounts now are just like pulling data and then presenting it to you. And you're like, like, I don't know what to do with this, you know? And it's often like really contradictory and everybody has extremely strong opinions. And you're like, I don't know, like, how do I pick which one person to pay attention to here? And so right. I like that he's just this quiet Northern European man who gathers data and puts it out in this like very easy to read spreadsheet. And so I just trust it. And other tools that you use, I use the Fantasy Football Scout members page. So I guess it's another way that I'm sort of paying it forward in fantasy. I find the Rate My Team stuff on there useful. I find the heat maps useful, the player comparison tools. I really like betting data. I find that the goal score odds for a given game week are incredibly reliable, and the clean sheet odds are too. And if I'm debating between two players, I will almost always go with whoever the goal score odds are for that game week. It's like these are like the smartest gamblers in the world putting this stuff together. Like, they're not, you know, it's like you want like they like, you know, like we may have a podcast take this very seriously, but like when there's like tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars on the line, I want to trust the people who are making those decisions, you know, about who is most likely to score that game week. So what about
you? You're all about beating the spread, Josh.
Exactly. What about you?
Yeah, like you, I also use the Fantasy Football Scout members page. Having access to all that Opta data is really helpful. I enjoy the discussion on FPL Reddit. The FPL community in general can come under fire with just being full of so much noise. But all those different perspectives, if you're able to view them through your own lens, it can really help. It helps me inform my decisions.
Next question comes from Hannah. She says, hi, guys. What to do with Hazard? Hold or sell after Bournemouth and Huddersfield matches? He may have a double game week in a few weeks, but he also has tough fixtures and a blank on the horizon. So we did talk about Hazard earlier, but just in general, I mean, you got to hold it for the next two or at least one more, right?
Yeah, I think he gets one more, the Bournemouth fixture, and we have to reassess then. I mean, let's be clear. Hazard is well underperforming, and he's a big problem.
Yep.
So you just have to be mindful of that. He will get one more shot for me. And if he doesn't perform against Bournemouth, he'll be gone.
That's it. Okay. All right. I think that's a reasonable way to think about it. But if he gets like two goals, in the Bournemouth match. You're holding. You're going to keep him for game week 25, you think?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yep.
I think that's fair. FPL Koki says, when is it a good time to get Sun in? It's amazing we've gotten this far without talking about Sun. Says, is he the bionic man? I think the answer there is no. If he plays straight away in for every match, surely Spurs will run him to the ground. But on the other hand, Spurs are in desperate need for attackers, given Kane and Ali are out. And the Spurs lost again in to Crystal Palace today. And then tied in with that, Tom Campbell says, is it just a given that this episode is to be named Here Comes the Sun? Brendan, I thought this was very insulting because, you know, you and I are not the punniest. We are not the punniest of FPL managers. I feel like we're pretty we go weird. Like I'm more into the weird titles than the punny titles.
Yeah, absolutely. Template tectonics. We went straight earth science with the last title of the episode. So,
yep.
Tom, give us a little more credit than that.
I agree. Yeah, come on, Tom. But about Sun, what do you think? Sun, I mean, I guess it feels like he's kind of off the table now because of all this.
The Spurs are a mess. Spurs are an absolute mess. I think they're a stay away. I watched almost the entire Palace Spurs FA Cup match. Mm-hmm. And the one player for Spurs that jumped out at me was Eric Lamella. He was trying to do everything, but everyone around him was conspiring to be bad, which was unfortunate. Llorente, he continues to get these starts. You can talk about how he's decent value at 5.9 if he's starting up front, but no, he's a donkey of a striker. He's really out of form. It's not going to work. You do worry. There was talk of Son looking very fatigued at the end of the Asian Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's been playing nonstop for, you know, more than a year now. You would guess he came into the season very fatigued.
Right.
So I think his minutes will be managed, even though they really do need him. And that said, he doesn't have a whole lot. Son himself doesn't have a whole lot to work with in that Spurs attack right now.
Yeah. I read an interesting article a couple weeks ago. I think it was in The Athletic about how Eric Dier, like, really his absence really changed the Spurs attack, and they decided to basically just kind of go all out, you know, and just have Kane and Son sort of combine and just like just run over opponents, you know, just like I don't know, like just try to outscore them basically. And it was like really quite effective, right? I mean, at one point they were, you know, ahead of Man City on the table before they kind of ran out of steam and then everyone got injured. So I don't really know what Son is going to be like without Kane and without even Ali. It's just with Lucas Moura, like, we don't really know what's going on there. Llorente, I mean, Llorente is not exactly a straight like-for-like swap with Harry Kane. I mean, I guess they're both tall, you know, but it's I don't, you know, so I worry a little bit about him. I mean, they do have three home fixtures in a row, but I just – because Man City have this double in game week 25, it's just – it's really hard for me to – to think about going anywhere else with my transfers over the next two game weeks.
Yeah, you can't have everyone. And if I look at the people I could go without right now, Spurs are atop the list of, I can go without.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's too bad. And if Ali was still playing, maybe I'd feel differently, but yeah, I agree. Brandon, final question. This is like almost like an actual lightning round this time. Like, we almost got through this stuff quickly. Tomcat says, this game week is my only realistic chance of making my money back from my work league by winning the month of January. It says, what captain / chip do you recommend I use? Most rivals are likely to captain Salah, so maybe I triple captain him. Do I consider triple captain Aubameyang as a differential? What do I do?
Oh, do not triple captain Aubameyang. I would consider captaining Aubameyang as a big differential, because I agree almost everyone is going to be on Salah game week 24.
Mm-hmm. As they should, just doesn't.
Yes, agreed. So, you know, I think the most guarded strategy, and perhaps could be the most effective one, is just captain Salah along with everyone else and have a little belief in the rest of your team that they will be able to chip away at what all your other colleagues are doing. It just doesn't feel like, particularly all the talk that we've just had about game week 25 and the double, it's the wrong time to play a triple captain chip.
Yeah.
It's a strange one for me. The work league culture. I mean, what do you want more, to win a month and win some of your money back? Or do you want to do well over the course of the season? Because even if you don't win any money, I feel like there must be more bragging rights generally involved in doing better than everyone at the end of the season.
I feel like you're just lecturing poor Tomcat now, Brandon. Jeez.
Well, Tom, you know, Tom came to the Always Cheating podcast to get lectured at. I don't really understand why anyone writes us unless that's what they expect. But I don't know. What do you think he should do?
Well, I'm just, you know, if he's the kind of person who's even considering this, then I would just triple captain. I mean, I wouldn't get cute. Like, if you want to score the most points, you know, I mean, I wouldn't consider any other chips, by the way. I wouldn't consider a bench boost. I mean, I don't know what his team looks like, you know, but a triple captain Mo Salah. I mean, this is Liverpool, like them losing in the FA Cup, it was just so great for them in terms of their chances of winning the league. You know, they just had this long, relaxed, extended break. It's like the perfect time of the season, right? Like right before they're about to go into a, you know, bunch of fixtures like lined up, have some injuries, like players get a little more time to recover. They're about to play a Leicester team that conceded 4 at home, like away to Wolves the game week before. I love Salah at home this game week.
Yeah. Yeah, don't get cute, Tom.
Don't get cute. Brandon, that's it. Game Week 24 starts on Tuesday, Tuesday and Wednesday. Brandon, I am excited to tell you that I took a half day on Tuesday, and I am going to be watching these matches. I'm very excited.
I took a vacation day on Friday to watch the FA Cup. So, you know, who got the better deal? Probably you in the end. All right, let's sign off before we get to our interview with Tairo Arruda, again from the Yale Soccer Conference. Josh and I will be attending this conference February 9th through 10th. We will report back on how awesome it is. If you're in the New Haven, Connecticut area and have any interest in learning more about the business of soccer attending this conference, just hit us up with an email, hailcheaters@gmail.com. Tyro's getting us some free tickets. Let's try to work something out. You can find out more information at soccerconference.org. All right, quick thank you to all of our producers via Patreon. If you want to support the pod, maybe become a producer yourself and learn about all the cool stuff we offer to our Patreon members, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Josh, give us those big producer thank yous.
All right. Mike DiPietro, Stephen Toomey, Sam Streak, Jacob Roberts, Carl Rasmus, Laney Granley, Chris Howell, Rafay Khan, Martin Savage, Rick Railsford, Jim Payne, Adam Benjamin, Max Chamberlain, Brian T., Trevor Ingerson, Chris Carter, DeBig Gaffer, Danny Evans, Papas Kuhn, Tor Furland, Sir Matt Husby. Brandon, we need a new nickname for Matt Husby. We'll give him 2 next week. Ben Grant, James Holland, and Matt Ritter.
Awesome. Subscribe to the Always Cheating Podcast wherever it is that you get fine podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're on Spotify.
That's
SoundCloud,
right.
Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Give us a 5-star review while you're at it. That would help us out a lot. Follow us on Twitter @HailCheaters, Instagram @HailCheaters, Facebook.com/AlwaysCheating. Email us, yes, at HailCheaters@gmail.com. Or for all this information and more, just visit AlwaysCheating.com.
And Brandon, one final note. We have an email we want to read to end this podcast. People have been asking about 2 of the patron saints, 2 people who are available on the Always Cheating t-shirt. Brandon, what's the latest with these 2?
So Damian Byrne writes us from Belgium. He says, I thought it might interest you or your listeners that following Sorloth's loan move to Ghent, he's now playing in the Belgian Pro League, the same league as Mbakani, who plays for Royal Antwerp. Mbakani is doing well. He has 7 goals and 6 assists in 17 league appearances. Sorloth, meanwhile, impressed in his league debut last weekend. Get this, Josh. He scored the winner in a 1-0 victory against Anderlecht, a club which have been the champions of Belgium 34 times. Damian goes on to link to video highlights of Sorloth. And my God, Sorloth is going to be rule. He's going to be king of Belgium. Is Belgium the type of European nation that still has a king?
That's a good question.
Because if they do, yeah, I think Sorloth will probably change his citizenship and become king of Belgium. And Mbakani can become some sort of landed gentry, perhaps.
All right, Brandon. I think that's it.
That's it. On to the interview.
All right.
Okay, we have some exciting news. Josh and I are actually heading up to New Haven to attend the first annual Yale Soccer Conference that is happening February 9th and 10th. And we got an invite from our new best friend who joins us today, Tairo Arruda, who is the founder and president of the Yale Soccer Conference. Tairo, thank you for joining us in the Always Cheating Pod.
Brandon, thank you so much for the kind introduction. And thank you, Josh, for the opportunity to be here. It's a big honor for me to participate in your podcast. And also, I would like to congratulate you for the great work and the great contribution to soccer that you're doing.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And thanks for inviting us to the conference. We're really really excited to attend. It's an amazing guest list. When we first got the invitation from you, and we went to the website, which is it's soccerconference.org, correct?
Correct.
I can't believe that URL was still available.
I know, right? What a great get.
That was a very big like for my side. And when I searched for it, I just found Audible, and I just was the first to buy. Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Yeah, we can talk about some of the specific speakers, but just a little flavor. There are people that will be there from ESPN, from Barcelona, Bayern Munich, various MLS clubs, academics and researchers, and people interested in the business of global football. Pierre Moussa, who produces the NBC Sports Premier League coverage here in the United States. An incredible list of attendees at the conference.
So, Tyra, what made you decide to start this conference? I mean, what was the idea behind it? You know, how long has this been in the works?
So, yeah, I'll give you a little bit of the background before. So, I'm coming from Brazil, so you can see my passion in soccer is nature, right? So, for me, it was easy to... When I came to Yale, I just... Yale School of Management to do my MBA program. I signed to be one of the captains of the soccer club, and I got the position. So, now I'm on the club, running the club. We have 80 players that we play all over the country, so it's very exciting for me.
Wow.
And I'm also a big fan of the sport. I support São Paulo, and I follow the sport so much. And I decided here, while I'm studying the School of Management, to pursue a career in soccer. And then my goal of my career is to buy a club. I'm aiming to buy a club in the U.S., especially in the second division, maybe start a club here or maybe in Europe. Through investments, finding investors to do it, and I can run a club in the future. So that's my aim of my career.
Brandon,
and
how jealous?
Sorry.
Oh, I was just gonna ask Brandon how jealous he is of Tyra right now. I think we're both.
You're basically citing every ambition that a soccer fan in the U.S. has. It's also great to hear that someone has the ambition to buy. To go the grassroots way. You're not looking to buy an MLS club like the David Beckhams of the world, but particularly what the United States needs and so many countries around the world, lower division clubs need that kind of support and investment. What has been your experience at coming from a great footballing nation like Brazil to the United States and playing soccer here and researching it? What kind of difference is there between Brazil and, say, Connecticut?
So, yeah, that's a lot of difference. I can say, like, Brazil produces a lot of players. It's incredible. People play soccer since they are born. Every single child, they play in the streets. They don't have cleats to play, but they do. They don't have balls, but they play with their socks. And we are born like that. We are born thinking about soccer, so that we produce a lot of players. That's the main difference. But at the same time, I see the U.S. as a very, very committed and organized country in terms of sports. So we can see the results on Olympic Games, for instance. The U.S. is always the best country. And I really think that the U.S. is taking the right steps towards being a superpower in the soccer in the future. So when I worked before coming to Yale, I was working with management consulting firms. And then I have a passion of soccer. So I'm merging the two of them, and then I want to manage a club. So that makes total sense for me. And when I look at the U.S., I see that here is the best industry, best country to develop my career on that. That's why I started the Director of the Soccer Conference.
And so you started...
Yeah.
So you start this conference, the list, as we mentioned a moment ago, is full of, you know, huge names. I mean, people that a lot of people would really like to be in a room with and hear speak. I mean, I know that I personally, Brandon and I were looking at the schedule and, you know, we're like, all right, got to go to that one.
To divide and conquer, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. So was it hard to, was it a hard sell to these people, or was it how long did it take to gather all these people together for this weekend?
It was incredibly difficult, actually. I'm very proud of the lineup of speakers that we have. And we started that with Fernando Palomo from ESPN. So he came here first to, we got the contact of him. He came, we invited him to come here to give it to the students. He gave, and we met in person, and I mentioned to him, look, do you think a conference would be a good idea to start here in SOM to shape the future of soccer? We can talk better about the mission of the conference. And then Fernando got really excited about the idea, and he started introducing us to people, and we started from there.
Gotcha.
And then, like, aside from that, we had some great classes here in Yale to learn how to build a new project from zero. Is really difficult. And then my strategy was to find the early adopters. So I need to invite first people that are willing to accept before starting inviting people that I think are more difficult to accept the, being part of the conference. Mm-hmm. And for you to have a sense, we are not paying anyone of the speakers. They are paying for their own pocket to be here.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So, yeah, that's amazing. So they really want to be here. They really want to be part of this project. So then we started reaching out to the early adopters that I used to say that are people that love the sport, and they like professors, writers. And then we reach out to them, they accepted, and then we started growing and reach out to like these big guys that we have so far. And what is amazing to say is that I talked to so many people like Kaká, we talked to Reinaldo Rueda, the coach of the Chilean coach, Ronaldo Fenomeno as well, we invited him, we invited Donovan. We invited Lalas and his agent as well. All of these great people, they loved the conference. They couldn't come this year because of their agenda. So we really, really hope to have all of them for the next year as well. So I was very lucky to connect with all of these people. They are very nice. And the conference is growing from the first year that we are very proud that all of the great speakers we have. But we're going to have like all of these great guys coming to next year as well.
Yeah. And this year, Stefan Zemanski is coming too, which I'm pretty excited about. His book, Soccernomics, was one of the first books I read when I was really getting into the sport. And it was it had a huge influence on me. So I'm really excited to hear him speak.
Yeah.
Speaking of huge influences, for me, Tyro, growing up as a young soccer fan in the States in the 80s and early 90s, the only way I could watch football or soccer was via Telemundo. So I know Andres Cantor so well for calling Mexican League games and his legendary goal calls. So what a treat that'll be.
Yeah, so we are very excited to have Cantor here. He's one of the our stars in the conference for sure. And we were going to have a session with him about like Q&A session. We'll have Professor Diego Von Bacano that is organizing with us. They know each other very well. Diego going to start with some questions to Cantor. And then we're going to open to the audience to ask him anything they want. So, yeah, we are very excited to have him here.
That's great. So just about the conference itself, if people, are interested in attending, tickets are available for purchase. That's correct?
Yes. This is the first year of this event. So basically in this event is a student run conference. We don't have any financial support from Yale. So we started the project without any sponsor, anything. So we priced the tickets at $175 in the beginning. And then after we got some sponsorship, we were able to reduce a lot of the costs. So now we have tickets starting from $45. That's amazing. And people can get a lot of benefits aside from learning a lot about the sports that we love. They're going to have a book that we're the Soccer Thinking for Management Success from Peter Lodge. He's a professor from Georgetown and will be here speaking at the event as well. We're going to give swags. We're going to have like catered bread, breakfast and lunch.
Wow.
We'll have some social events as well, all covered on the tickets. We have a networking event on the first night, on the first evening of the event. We'll have also the second day. We'll have like a long afternoon of a networking event as well. So all of these are covered in the event. The only thing that I can say that are, unfortunately, the tickets are very limited. And I advise people that want to come to buy as early as possible.
We do have. I was just going to say that we were able to talk to Tyra beforehand, and he was able to offer a few tickets that we are actually going to be able to give away for free to Always Cheating listeners. So if you are an Always Cheating listener in New York, Connecticut, you know, Massachusetts, or if you want, I guess if you want to fly in.
Yeah, if you have some frequent flyer miles to spare.
Yeah, exactly. Email us. Yeah, just, so we're not, we're still, you know, sorting out all the details, but email us at hailcheaters@gmail.com and reach out, let us know, you know, why you want to keep, you know, why you're interested in attended, and, you know, we'll get back to you.
The conference sounds amazing. I'm thinking if it doesn't work out for you in terms of buying or running a soccer club, you can just run conferences. I think that will be a fine career for you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a possibility as well. But I think this here in our conference, we don't aim to make profits. So I'm going to be like just a happy poor guy.
Yeah. Right. So go to soccerconference.org to purchase your tickets, or as Josh says, write us if you're interested in winning some free tickets from us. And just go to soccerconference.org to check out this list of speakers. So you're at the Yale School of Business. Is that right?
Or is the Yale School of Management?
Yeah. The Yale School of Management.
Yeah.
So I assume the origin of the soccer conference was thinking about soccer or football from a business point of view. What do you see coming out of this conference in terms of the business of global soccer or the professionalization of it?
Yeah, that's a perfect question. We like this, as I mentioned, this is a student project. So as running the soccer club here, we saw that the soccer industry is huge in the world, and we don't have any school in the US giving the proper attention to this business, to this industry. It's very common for us to see the school giving like all the support to people to join like consulting companies, banking, tech, IT, any other areas, but we don't see a lot of attention to soccer, which is huge. So the first goal of the conference is to bring to Yale this passion of soccer here and to build the future leaders of soccer. That's the main goal for us. And aside from that, on the conference itself, we are tackling two different areas. One of it is business. So that we're going to discuss, like, we're bringing people to discuss the future of soccer, the analytics. We all know the Moneyball case. So the question is going to happen to soccer as well or not? So we're going to have people to speak about analytics, how to manage a small club, a big club in different regions in the world. What is to the problems of managing soccer in South America versus Europe versus Asia and the U.S., etc. And the second part of the conference, we aim to tackle the social issues of the sport. This is very important for us. So I'm talking about racism, I'm talking about corruption, gender inequality, the LGBTQ issues as well in the sport. So all of these problems that are inherent to the soccer, we want to discuss. We're bringing people to talk about racism, like Ben Carrington. He's a specialist in racism in soccer. He's going to explain to us the call solutions. So it's going to be a great conference in both sides, the social side and the business side as well.
Great. And so just one last question. If a lot of our listeners are, you know, we love our Norwegian listeners, probably hard for a lot of them to come fly over, you know, in 2 weeks' time to see the conference.
Don't sell our Norwegian listeners short.
I don't want to sell them short. I'm not selling them short, but just but if they can't make it, is there a chance for people to stream or at least you know, to view some of these panels online?
Yes, we plan to have some sessions live streamed, and then we're gonna have the recorded video on YouTube for them to watch. But we want to just give a sense of the conference for people that they can come to the second year. Of course, we need to prioritize and to give the best of the conference to people that bought the tickets, that came to here. And we really want to that everyone that loves soccer come to here to the conference. So all of the best sessions, I can say, only people that are here can see.
Okay.
But we're going to have some of them to go the global audience for
a little taste. Sure. Okay. Yep. I understand.
Yeah, exactly.
it sounds amazing, Tyro. So you've been in the States for a year and a half. Have you adopted an MLS club or a USL club?
Yeah.
Are you a New England Revolution fan now?
No, I am an Orlando City fan now. So that Orlando City,
there you go.
And also Orlando City is owned by a Brazilian guy, and also the CEO of the city is coming to speak at the conference. Alex Leighton, we talked a lot. So he's a great guy, and I'm really a fan of Orlando City now. Besides from Orlando City, I'm really a fan of Hartford Athletics now, as the only professional soccer club in Connecticut, and they are partnering with us as well. They are sponsoring the event. So those are the two clubs that I'm supporting, one in the MLS and the other in the second league.
Excellent. Go Hartford. Josh and I obviously cover the fantasy game, so we're really excited to get to the Yale Soccer Conference and see if anyone's thinking about the future of fantasy, the fantasy game globally, because there must be huge upsides with playing the fantasy game and increasing the awareness of football at every level around the world.
Yes, I have to say that the soccer is the only sport that is a common language all over the world. Everywhere in the world that you go, soccer is the language that everyone can speak. And it can unite every race, every enemies. They can unite in the same language. So that's a beautiful sport. That's the most beautiful sport that I can think about. And it's definitely have a lot of room to grow here in the U.S. And as the World Cup is coming to the country as well again.
Yes, good point.
I really think that the industry of soccer here will grow a lot. And the country will be a superpower in the future for sure.
It's beautifully said, Tyro. I mean, Josh and I, we don't get along well outside of our home. So soccer giving us something to talk about with strangers around the world is really a gift that soccer keeps giving. So I appreciate that sentiment.
Well,
we're excited to meet you. You'd probably be running around like crazy in a couple of weeks' time. So hopefully we'll get a chance to meet you briefly in February 9th and 10th. And we're excited to be there.
Yeah, everyone go to soccerconference.org for more information to see the list of incredible speakers. Grant Wall, like legendary Sports Illustrated columnist here in the United States. So many great people. Learn more about tickets just hit us up at our email, hailcheaters@gmail.com, or DM us on social media. We've got some free tickets courtesy of Tyro to give away to the Yale Soccer Conference. Tyro, thank you so much for joining us on Always Cheating, and we'll see you in New Haven, Connecticut.
Yes, very excited to have you here, and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about this beautiful project, and I hope to grab some coffee with you here in New Haven. Yeah.
Sounds great. Well, thank you again for coming on.